This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, the host of the brand new podcast At Our Table and former chair of the DNC, our dear brother Jamie Harrison joins us now. Jamie, how are you, man?
I'm great, Rev. How are you, brother?
It's a pleasure. I'm great, man, and it's a pleasure to see you. Thank you for joining me today. First of all, Jamie, let's get some immediate reaction. Trump's right as we speak having a press conference about taking over the DC police and deploying the National Guard. Dude, what? It gets more insane every day.
Every single day. And, you know, I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning and, you know, sometimes you wake up because your mind's just moving and you can't sleep. And when I woke up, I picked up my phone and I just started thinking about all these things, Rev, what he's doing in DC, what he's doing in terms of ICE, how he's decimating colleges and universities, basically trying to plan all of these ultra-right-wing theories and ideologies into our colleges and universities, how he's decimating the media right now. We saw what he did to Colbert. We know he's going after other shows. And what he's doing on this redistricting as well, you know, why is he so hell-bent on making sure that we can he keeps control of the House? And, you know, I know that people think, well, it's all conspiracy theories around Trump. But Mark, this next Congress, this next House of Representatives is going to be in charge of the 2028 presidential election in terms of certifying that election. And if this guy gets control back, you know, he's already flirted with this whole idea about, you know, serving a third term. And this is part of all of this is part of some grand scheme that he has.
Right.
Of just consolidating all of that power and bringing fascism and authoritarianism right into the United States.
And it's playing to a base that is really disturbed.
Yes.
I mean, what are people getting at? And it's interesting, that same base wants the Epstein files. I mean, it's almost like some bipolar schizophrenia going on. They're mad at him for the Epstein files. So what is he trying to do? Distract them? With this kind of takeover of the nation's capital?
It's all a distraction. It is all a distraction. He knows the dirt that he's doing. He understands the sore spots or the soft spots in terms of his armor. And what he tries to do is to figure out other things that he can, you know, throw red meat at him there and watch him chase after that. Throw red meat at him over here and watch him chase after that. All the while to distract him from some of the things that has happened, that how he and his family are becoming even more rich off the American people. It's really interesting how you have not heard much from Trump Jr. and some of the other Trumps in this administration. That's because they're out doing all these deals, making billions of dollars off of the hardworking American people.
That's not getting a lot of coverage.
Not at all,
Jamie.
Not at all. But, you know, they want to talk about Hunter Biden and his artwork, right? Man, if somebody wanted to buy Hunter's work, then they could. But these people are selling Trump cell phones. They're making bitcoins and making. And then Trump goes and says, well, I'm going to do some stuff in the crypto space, right? All the while, he and his family, Melania even has some type of coin that is worthless, but made millions of dollars off of it, right? I'm telling you, it's this grand scheme that they consolidate power, but they get more personal wealth as a result of.
Yeah, that's insane. How's the pot at our table podcast? Speaking of Hunter Biden, he was on with you as a big guest, and what he shared was revelatory, James.
Yeah, it was a really great conversation with Hunter, and it was, you know, the first that he's had since the election. And you know, my goal for that, Mark, was for folks to really get to see Hunter for who he is, not who the Republicans want him to be or who, you know, his opponents want him to be. Because one of the things that I see in politics, the media and folks are very good at making caricatures out of people, mm-hmm. right? They build this frame that they want everybody to look at you in. And sometimes you just need to hear from people in their own words. And then you can make a decision whether you like them or not like them, whether you support them or not support them. And I think that's the fair thing to do, is to allow people to make the case for themselves. And what I wanted folks to understand with Hunter is this guy is bright, extremely bright. I mean, he went to Georgetown and Yale. He's done, accomplished so much professionally. I mean, he's been a lawyer, had his own firm, he represented a bunch of folks. He's been in a number of agencies, worked in various administrations. But like folks who have an addiction, all of that whole castle can fall down on you. And you know, he acknowledges though that he was a big part of the problems that he has had, mm-hmm. but he is trying to build out of that with the love of his family and the love of his friends. He's building out of that. And I thought that it was really important for folks to hear his story, but to hear from his mouth and not just from, you know, Fox News and New York Post and all the other right wing media outlets.
He was your was he your first guest? Or with, no,
he Tim was the second guest. I had Tim Walz as the first guest. So we've had so far, we had Tim Walz, we had Hunter Biden, we had Wes Moore, and then Andy Beshear. So three governors and then Hunter Biden. And this next week, tomorrow, actually, we have an episode with a pediatrician who's running for the U.S. Senate against Lindsey Graham. So basically, she's trying to do what I did. But hopefully she'll be much more successful.
At Our Table podcast, folks, available wherever you get your podcasts. You're the immediate past chair of the party.
Yep.
How are we doing? What are we doing? What are we going to do?
Well, you know, Ken Martin is in his first year. Ken's been the new chair of the DNC. He's a great friend of mine. One of the things that hasn't gotten a whole lot of press. Is Ken is going to put an unprecedented amount of money into our 50 states or 57 state and territory parties, almost akin to, you know, when I was chair, I thought what we were doing was making a 50 state strategy and putting on steroids. Well, he's taking this to a whole nother level. You know, Mark, when I became state party chair in South Carolina, we were getting $2,500 a month from the DNC. Mm. That is all that we were getting from the DNC in South Carolina. Mm. South Carolina, by the end of this year, and other red states like her, will be receiving $22,500 a month from the DNC. That is a game changer. That it means that they're going to be able to hire more additional staff on the ground to do outreach, to do organizing, and that's going to be significant as we go into this midterm election, which I believe that we could see a big blue wave akin to what we saw in 2006 when Howard Dean invested in all of the state parties. And so they're working really hard on that. He's been working really hard in terms of Texas and providing more support to those legislators in Texas who were standing up to Governor Abbott there. They've been working really hard on New Jersey and Virginia. We have won almost every special election thus far this year, or we have overperformed dramatically from what Democrats normally perform in those districts. So I think the bones are there for us to really make the gains. But we know that, you know, by hook or by crook, Trump is trying everything within his power to keep Democrats from winning again, not only in this midterm election, but ever.
What are your thoughts about Kamala Harris, Jamie Harrison, former chair of the DNC, Jamie Harrison with us, folks? Your calls, 202-580-8093. Quickly, please. What are your thoughts about Kamala Harris not running for governor? What does that say to us?
Well, I think she said it perfectly, that she wants to do and she wants to get back out there, but she didn't think that that role of governor was the best one for her at this point in time. And I think folks have to give her the grace. She's earned the right to decide what the hell she wants to do and when she wants to do it. I saw someone who poured everything that she had into those 100 and some odd days running for the presidency. And, you know, yes, we all wanted her to win, and many of us worked hard to help her win. But I can tell you, Rev, I've never seen somebody do as much as she did in such a short period of time to make that a race. You know, remember, I mean, again, she had 107 days. She literally had less than 2 weeks to pick a vice president, and then about a month to have a convention, which many people have said is going down as one of the best conventions that the party's ever had. And then after that, a few weeks later, she got on the stage with Donald Trump, this man who has debated more, had more presidential debates than any other person in history. Kamala Harris got on that debate stage with him and dragged him around like a week old bag of garbage, right? And then she went all over the country. She didn't even have the opportunity to build her own campaign team. She used the legacy campaign team from Joe Biden. And so she did all of that and came up with the third highest vote total in the history of this country for a presidential candidate, only behind Joe Biden, Donald Trump, and then Kamala Harris. And so, you know, three states and she would have been president of the United States. And so, yes, we did not win. And Lord knows, I wish every day the result would have been different. But we need to make sure that we appreciate Kamala Harris for what she did and how she did it, and how she put her whole self into that effort.
Jamie Harris, are you comfortable with the outcome, or do you have any reason to think there was some funny business and went down?
I'm not happy with the outcome, and I think some of it was... you know, and I'm being honest, you know, I'm writing the book right now. Some of it is a little self-inflicted. We did some things that were not always smart. And we, I'm saying the global we for our side of the aisle. I think, you know, one of the things that I want to make sure that we don't fall into a rut on as we move into 2028 is that we need to bring more people to the table. Mm-hmm. More diverse voices. We say we are the most diverse party, and we are, and we have our coalition is diverse. Well, sometimes that table needs to be a little more diverse as well, in terms of decision makers and folks who get to make decisions about how the strategy and how we go into communities. You know, even though I was chair of the party, I didn't always have a seat at that table. I know.
We can explain that now. What does that mean? Why not? What do you mean you have a seat at the table?
Mark, I tell you this. So when the campaign had all of its senior discussions, right? Its senior discussions on strategy, where does money go? You know, how are we deploying assets? I was not a part of those meetings.
Is that unprecedented?
I think so. Okay. I think it was a little group who was making those decisions. It was a small group making those decisions, and I was not a part of that group.
Who was in the group, Jamie? Can you say?
Well, you know, led by General Mally Dillon, who was a campaign manager, and you had Dave Plouffe and all of those other folks. But in the end, it wasn't because I didn't ask to be a part of those discussions. I did. Almost on every other week, I would like to be included in this discussion. I would like to be included. I mean, when I think about it, my friend, we had millions of dollars going to polling that the DNC was paying for, and I never got the chance to see the polls. Now, right? And so those are part of the reforms that I would love to see at the DNC so that no other DNC chair or DNC has to go through what I went through in this last election cycle.
Unbelievable. Will Kamala run for president again? Do you think she should?
If she wants to, I think she's earned the right to do so. I'm not sure whether or not she wants to go through it again. But I think she has earned the right to do whatever she wants to do. If she wants to run again, I think she should go out and she should run. And I think she will have tremendous support. But we all know it's going to be a very contested election. There are going to be a lot of people who are going to jump in. You know, in 2020, we saw, almost 20 people in the Democratic primary initially. And I anticipate something very similar to that happening in 2028. But I think if the VP does decide to get in, she immediately becomes, probably the front runner. There'll be a lot of people angling at her, in that contest, governors, senators, members of Congress, and you probably even get some people, non-traditional candidates who are not even elected officials who may come from the media circles or in the entertainment world. I think it's going to be it'll be the wild, wild west. But one of the things that I am very, very focused on is making sure that Black voters get an opportunity to stay at the head of the table in terms of making a determination of who our next nominee is.
Right. Lastly, you published a Substack, John Roberts' Supreme Court has entered its Dred Scott era. Tell us about that, Jamie.
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot, Rev. I'm a lawyer by training, and many of us have heard of the Dred Scott decision, which was probably one of the worst decisions ever by the court, which basically dehumanized Black folks in this country, made sure that we did not have the rights that we should have had early on. And that was under the Taney Court. Justice Taney was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court during that period. And many folks often think that is one of the worst decisions ever made by the Supreme Court in the history of the Supreme Court. And basically what I am saying is that this court under John Roberts is rivaling that Taney court. Mm-hmm. When you look at the systematic efforts, at that point, people could argue that Black folks didn't have the rights at that time, right? And that decision was solidifying that we would not have those rights. Well, Black voters and all voters now have rights. We're supposedly all equal, all created equal, right? All having the freedom and the liberty. Well, what this court is doing is chipping away at that. It is chipping away at those liberties and the freedoms that we fought so hard to gain over these last few decades. You look at decisions to gut the Voting Rights Act, and now what it is doing in terms of disenfranchising so many voters across the country. We look at the gutting of Chevron, which basically is taking the power of the regulatory power away from the agencies and giving it to unelected judges who don't understand, don't have the background to understand what's best in terms of the environment. All. I mean, when you look at what they are doing, Rev, they basically said that a president is almost a king, that they could commit illegal acts and yet not be prosecuted for it if they're doing it under the cloak of the presidency. So in essence, I believe that this court is rivaling that old Taney court, in terms of the decisions that they're making. They gutted the affirmative action in this country. I mean, and it's just chipping away, and they do it with a smile, and they do it, under all of the in such a way that people think it's just we're operating in normal times, but these are not normal times, not at all.
They are. Jamie Harrison, love you, brother. You always have a home here. One more time, tell everybody where they can find you.
Folks, go to you can go to jamieharrison.com or you can go to atourtablepodcast.com. But thank you, Rev, for all that you do, for always keeping up the fight, for keeping us real, and keeping your finger on the pulse of equality and social justice in this country.
And thank you for your tireless activism yourself. Folks, he ain't retired.
No.
He didn't retire. He's just not chairing anymore. But he's out here in the streets, and he's going to be making some noise. So we appreciate you. Love you,
Jamie.
Thank you, Rev. I'll see you real soon, man, okay?
Okay, take care. Thank you again.
All right, thank you.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
We are going to be joined now. As you all know, the Democrats in the Texas legislature have skipped town to prevent a quorum. Here joining us from the Texas State Legislature, and they're doing this because of redistricting, is our dear friend and brother, Representative Ron Reynolds. Representative Reynolds, how are you, my brother?
Hey, brother, I'm good, Mark. Thanks for having me, Rev. It's always a blessing to be on with you. I appreciate this opportunity to be on your platform to educate people about this racial gerrymander map that not only impacts Texas, but the nation. So I'm honored to be here and stand 10 toes down for democracy. So thank you for allowing me to be on as a guest today.
Well, first of all, let's start with the map itself. What has this Texas legislature actually done, Ron?
The Texas legislature has done a racial gerrymander to impact 5 districts in Texas because that's the magic number that President Trump told Governor Abbott that he needed. Governor Abbott bended at the knees and said, yes, we'll deliver. And that's what he did with the special session. He, instead of dealing with the victims of the flooding where we lost over 130 Texans, Governor Abbott put the call on the special session to include redistricting. And they delivered a map that decimated black and brown districts. African Americans make up the largest population in Texas than any other state. We only have 4 African American seats. We should have more based on our population. This racial gerrymander reduced that number in half. So instead of having 4 African American congressional districts, we would now would have 2, one in Houston, one in Dallas. They paired our dear brother, your friend, one of our heroes, my frat brother, Congressman Al Green, with the historic 18th congressional district in Houston that was once held by the late, great Barbara Jordan, the first African-American congresswoman in the South since Reconstruction, that was only available because of the passage of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and most recently held by Congressman Sylvester Turner up until his death and prior to her death, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. They paired those two. They'll have to have one black district because they moved Al Green out of his own district and moved him into the 18th congressional district. And then our dear sister, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, we know she sets it on fire, always speaking truth to power, holding President Trump and the MAGA extremists accountable. They took her out of her congressional district in Dallas in the 30th and moved her into the 33rd to pair her with Congressman Mark Vesey, another African-American. So they would only have one congressional winner in Dallas. So that is what they're doing. And that is why my colleagues and I decided to break quorum in an act of defiance and a spirit of good trouble to stop the legislature for having the number of members needed to be present so they couldn't conduct business and pass this racial gerrymander. So that's what we did, Mark. We left Texas, fled to Illinois and other states, and we're holding out. This is week 2 of the quorum break.
So here's this argument, Representative Ron Reynolds, folks, Texas legislature. They come and find you and arrest you and force you back to place on danger of that.
Yeah. So they changed the rules. When I was with you before, when we broke quorum the first time, was back in 2021 when we went to DC because we were trying to urged D.C. to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, which, by the way, if it wasn't for those two Democrat senators, I'm going to call the name, Senator Manchin and Sinema, we could have passed that federal legislation to stop this from happening because Texas would have been under preclearance. But no, that's another story. But they added penalties after that corn break. So now we have $500 day fines that were added to be a deterrent, right? So that's what we're incurring, $500 a day fines. In addition to, we have warrants currently pending for our arrest, which Governor Abbott and the Attorney General Ken Paxton are trying to execute in Illinois and other states that members are at. So in addition to the $500 day fines, we have arrest warrants. And then here's a new twist, Rev. They now want to weaponize the Department of Justice and the FBI, which is unheard of. Now we got the FBI under Cash Patel saying they should be involved to possibly arrest us, extradite us back to Texas so that we could then make quorum. So this is unprecedented. This is unreal. This is almost like a movie, except it's real life. I don't know if you know, we've experienced bomb threats. When we got to Illinois, we had to evacuate our hotel because of bomb threats. So this has been a real nightmare, but we're undeterred and we will continue pressing forward. I just wanted you and your listeners to know what the challenges are that we're facing. In addition to the $500 day fines, we're faced with jail time and possible FBI involvement.
So now, Ryan, I don't want you to say where you are. I mean, you don't want them to know where you are, do you?
No.
I mean,
oh, no. Well, I can't tell you that, brother. Not
that.
At this time. Yes, sir.
But let me ask you this. Wherever you are.
Yes.
The FBI or the Texas State Police or anybody have the right to come and get you wherever you are. Do they actually have the right to do that?
Well, we heard from Attorney General Holder, who said they don't have that right. But Attorney General Ken Paxton, the MAGA extremist himself, believes that they can. And Governor Abbott and Senator Cornyn and President Trump, they all believe that they can. So we know that the president doesn't follow the Constitution nor the laws. He believes that he's above the law. So we don't believe that they would try to uphold the Constitution, that we believe that they would do anything and everything. We've seen, I mean, look at what they've done other elected officials with these ICE raids. I mean, we don't put anything past them. So do I believe that they can based on the law? No. Do I believe that they would because they believe that they're above the law? Absolutely.
Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Omaha Steaks Black Friday deals landed early. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites, including incredible deals on USDA-certified tender Omaha Steaks. These are the deals you've been waiting for all year. And when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code BLACKFRIDAY at checkout. And don't miss exclusive limited-time savings on uniquely curated packages, delicious favorites, and so much more. But you'd better hurry, because these deals won't last, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the early Black Friday sale now at OmahaSteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code BLACKFRIDAY at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com code BLACKFRIDAY. Terms apply. See site for details.
Lastly, you mentioned how this is not just in Texas.
Right.
They're starting to do this nationwide. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, Mark. So here's what we know. We know that the vice president, he went to Indiana because he wanted to entice them to do a redistricting. A mid-decade. I know you educate people. A mid-decade redistricting is unprecedented. They normally do a redistricting after the census every 10 years, every decade. So this is not normal, everyone. This is President Trump, knowing that his policies are unpopular, wanting to maintain power even though he knows that he will lose seats in the midterm. So he's trying to stack the deck. So he's going to Indiana. He's going to other red states and said, just like he told the Secretary of State in Georgia, where he said, I need 11,000 something votes. He's going around saying, I need 3 seats out of Indiana. I need 5 in Texas. I need 2 in Ohio. I need that. That's what he's doing. In Missouri, Brother Emanuel Cleaver, his congressman, they're talking about redistricting him out of his seat in Missouri because they want to stack the deck. That is what we're looking at. I even heard they're really looking at South Carolina and possibly getting rid of Jim Clyburn. That is the kind of assault that we're having. So well, this ain't just about Texas. As Dr. King once stated, that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So this doesn't end here in Texas. This is possibly across the country.
Well, and yeah, it's a replay of reclamation after Reconstruction, where we had
that's correct.
We had the right to vote. Women didn't.
But that's right.
Right to vote. We had thousands of African-American elected officials throughout the South, even former enslaved people, right? And now they want to do the same thing. It's almost like we're reliving this that nightmare.
That's correct. They want to take us back to Jim Crow. They want to take us back to pre-voting rights era days. That is the racist redistricting gerrymandered map that we see in Texas. So we can't put anything past them. They're doing anything and everything to suppress Black and brown minorities from voting. And we have to say not on our watch or we're going to allow them to take us back. I was there with you and Selma and others for the 60th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. They're trying to take us back. And that's why we all have to do our part to fight, to stand up against these authoritarian wannabe key dictators that are racist, racial extremists that really literally are trying to do everything they can to create a system of only benefiting the billionaire class. They're trampling upon the rights of Black and browns. They're doing everything they can to erase the gains that we've made. This nonsense called critical race theory. They don't want to teach about racism. This nonsense of anti-diversity, equity, and inclusion. They want to erase Black and browns from positions of CEOs and other positions and titles because they think that we didn't earn it because it wasn't merit-based because we're Black. So yes, we have a duty to speak truth to power and stand up.
Right. Lastly, Ron, is there any place to tell our audience to go to find out more information, keep up with you? You all need to share that?
Yes, I do. We have a website. I want people to go to the Texas Legislative Black Caucus, where we are definitely, we have the largest African-American population in the country. Our Black Caucus is standing up on the front line, and I'll put it in the, I'll send it over to you so you can share it with your people, because we want people to understand that we're not in this alone. We're speaking out for the nation. So goes Texas, so goes the country.
Text it to me, Ron, okay?
I'll text it to you right now.
Brother, all right. I see you on the run right now. Yeah, don't let him catch you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Keep it
appreciate
moving.
You for all. Listen, I want you to know I appreciate you for always standing in the gap, always being on the front line, man. No matter if it was 2021, every time is about voter engagement. It's about getting information so we can empower and inform our listeners. You've been there with so many causes, and I want you to know we appreciate you from Texas, man. Thank you so much. God bless you, man, and God keep you. And I'll send that over to you right now.
Text me offline if you need me to meet you somewhere.
All thank right. you, man. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you. Thank
bring, you.
Okay.
And I'm going to bring some people with me, too.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Love you, man. Take care. Ron Reynolds with us, joining us on the move as he is in being pursued like the Fugitive Slave Act out of Texas.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.